You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Christian, what an honor. We've got quite possibly one of the best, if not the best, right back in all of MLS.
Well, left back.
Left back. Already we started up top. We've started super strong.
We said, I told Alexis, at least one of us pays attention a little bit more than the other.
This man plays for LAFC. No, I'm kidding. a standout for the U.S. men's national team. No, this dude is an absolute beast. MLS All-Star, obviously. Dude, I mean, what an honor to have him. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the one, the only, Julian Araujo, everybody.
Julian, what's up, brother?
What's up, man? Thank you guys for having me on. It's a pleasure to be on here to meet you guys and obviously to be on here and talk about a bunch of different things and joke around for sure.
Let's
yeah, man.
Go.
First question, why aren't you a right back? And make me look stupid when I said that.
I'm a right back.
Yeah, there
right
you
back.
Go.
Okay, good. I'm glad we sorted it out. Dude, thank you so much for joining us, man. I mean, we usually always ask a lot of MLS players, a lot of soccer players in general. I've usually never even met comedians, but you're in LA. I'm sure there has to be some overlap with the entertainment industry. You ever met any comedians, anybody in your life? Has it ever happened at all? Even one?
Honestly, I haven't. I've never met a comedian. Honestly, yeah, it's crazy. But you know, everybody out here tries to be a comedian, but they aren't. But I've never met a comedian though.
Okay, so we're glad to be your first.
Yeah, for sure.
We have to get it out of the way because all our fans watching the show, they know we're NYCFC fans. The home opener for LA Galaxy was against NYCFC. It was a great game, wildly entertaining. 90 minutes of what I thought I was like, oh, this is gonna be a nice draw on the road for us. All good. And Chicharito has something to say about that.
I can't prove he cheated, but it felt like he did. You know what I mean? I can't prove it though.
He cheats in Warzone, so he probably came up and cheated a little bit. Okay. Nah, I'm kidding.
We're getting to the bottom of this.
The main thing I want to ask, at least, you know, for LA Galaxy, you know, missed the playoffs in kind of heartbreaking fashion at the end of last season, but this season to start with 3 points. And everybody seemed, I mean, we saw Chicharito nearly like, he got really emotional after that win. What was that? What did it feel like to get those 3 points to start the season?
Yeah, so as we all talked about it, the team talked about it, our new season started as soon as our season ended last year. Our goal was to, we knew what we were coming for this year. You know, we had a heartbreak last season where we ended when we didn't want to end. And, you know, it was a good game. Obviously, we had to play 90 minutes. We knew it was going to be 90 minutes of physicality. It's going to be 90 minutes of battle. We knew that they're the MLS champs of last year, and we knew they were coming to prove something again, but we're here to prove something as well. So we were here just, we wanted, we were in front of our fans to prove something to our fans, to let them know that we're back. And it was a good opportunity to be back in front of our fans and get the 3 points against the defending champs. And, you know, we were all on board with what we want to do. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't take the first 10, 15 minutes to score a goal. You know, it takes a whole 90. That's why we have to play the whole 90 till the first whistle to the last whistle. And we did that. And, you know, we were very excited. We're very proud to set a statement in front of our crowd.
What is that like, sort of getting a chance to play where we're going to call it your home crowd, right? Your hometown. I believe you're from Lompoc. I don't know if I'm pronounced that correctly.
Lompoc.
Lompoc. Okay.
Yeah.
If for everyone listening, it's L-O-M-P-O-C. You pronounce that without me. All right. So you're from Lompoc. That's a little bit north. What, about an hour north of L.A.?
From L.A., about 2.5, yeah.
2.5? All right. And you know how people from L.A. say 2.5. That means when there's no traffic, no one else on the road, and cops are asleep. So that means it's a 3.5-hour drive.
3.5, yeah. Honestly, right. my parents, after like games or something, like sometimes whenever I go back home, I either leave super late, like 8, 9 o'clock, or leave 6 in the morning because I don't want to hit traffic. Like my parents sometimes, would come and visit me and leave midday and get home in like 5 hours, 4 hours, when in reality you'd take 2 hours without traffic.
Yeah, everyone's like, that's like when people in New York who live outside New York, they'll be like, dude, it's 15 minutes. It's like, 15 minutes from what? From when you walk off the train to where you're going? There's a whole other stuff that you got to do.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah. What does it feel like to be a homegrown player playing for your home team, playing for LA Galaxy, the team, at least locally, that you probably looked up to growing up? Does that give you... Because I know you care a lot about Lompoc and the people from Lompoc. Do you think you're like an inspiration for like the kids, like maybe some of the players you saw growing up?
Yeah, for sure, man. I'm honestly very proud and very grateful to be part of this organization. You know, it's one of the best, if not the best, and it is the best in MLS, you know, and I'm just super grateful, you know, growing up as a kid, supporting them, watching them, you know, it was the club that was closest to me. The club that I kind of grew up watching as a kid. But yeah, man, to give like, my goal is to give hope to the next generation in Lompoc. You know, not a lot of kids get recognition back in Lompoc because it's such a small city, such a small town. And, you know, some kids go different routes, a lot of drugs and gang related stuff going on in my city. So, you know, I'm trying to just be there and be that hope, you know, that no dream is too big and that they can go and achieve whatever they want. And if they put their mind and set their mind and goal, they can do whatever they want in life, whether it's being a soccer player, football player, baseball, musician, whatever it is, you know, I'm just trying to be there and help and give hope and inspire the next generation, not just in Lompoc, but all over the world.
I didn't know there was like gang stuff, because when I looked it up, the first thing that pops up when you look it up on Google is a picture of a farm, like a flower farm.
Yeah, it's a city of flowers, Lompoc, city of flowers.
All right,
is that what it is?
Yeah,
I didn't know. I didn't know there was gang shit going on around. Yeah, I was like, what a picturesque place. So that's cool that at least you get to inspire the kids.
It's crazy now though, because a lot of the gang related stuff is with kids like my age. You know, like I was talking to some people that kid my age that I used to go to school with just got shot and died. That I used to see walking around, small, quiet kid, and I never thought would like be into that, you know, into gang related stuff. But you know, people are just going the wrong route, and it's sad to see.
Yeah, I mean, I'm from Brooklyn, and
I'm born and raised in Newark, New Jersey. So
yeah,
I have
too many of those stories, and it's as you know, we're both Latinos as well, and it's mm-hmm. like there's a little bit. I notice it. I have a cousin, so I'm Dominican, right? Dominicans are not really into soccer, but I have a young cousin who, like, from the age we've been doing this show for about 7 years, I mean, he was probably like 13, 12, 13 when we started doing this show. And then I see him like on Instagram, and he's like playing soccer and doing all this other stuff. I'm like, did I inspire another Dominican to get in this game? This is crazy. What influence do I have?
Yeah.
Bro, the Yankees organization's mad. They were like, yo, that was a pitcher. That could have been
a pitcher. Oh, my God.
We're all doing our best. I want to ask about some other stuff, but I want to get back to this NYCFC game, because there was a little bit of controversy. And I think,
you mean when our guest almost murdered our center back on the set piece and didn't get a red card?
I don't want to make any accusations. You know what happened? You know, fans, they pick their size. They do slow mo. They're looking at like, hey, how come this wasn't called? This happens to every team, but. I imagine this game was a physical game. Obviously, you guys wanted to win the game, but from a player's perspective, let's say maybe you get away with something. Again, I'm not accusing you of anything, but say you get away with it. Is it just like, yo, the ref didn't say anything? If they didn't call it, we got to move on with the game, right?
That's kind of how it is, man. You know, you know, it was never my intention of anything. You know, obviously, I don't like to do all that, but yeah, it was like we all knew it was going to be a game of physicality, of a battle. Like I said earlier, it was gonna be a battle, you know. But yeah, it happened, it got over, you got to keep playing.
Okay.
Okay. Now, is it, be honest. You're learning this in the Mexican national team camp, right? This is where you're learning these tactics.
Oh my god!
It was. I mean, look. I don't know. I'm just. I mean, it's not like the,
this doesn't feel like a Berhalter thing. You know, I'm just saying. Tata, I know Tata gets down like that.
I do want to talk about the Mexican national team and I mean. You are the first Mexican national team player to do our show, so we're absolutely honored. The
super dope, thank you.
Thank you, man. The
and big up every day until they play the men's national team.
the interesting thing here, and I'm excited to talk to you about it because obviously you made the switch from U.S. To Mexico, and I imagine throughout the entire national team process, even as a youth player, you're like, there's a possibility, and I'm sure Mexico is reaching out, and just always they're always keeping in touch. But the decision itself, like we've spoken to the last player we spoke to, Richie Ledesma, who is. In yeah. probably the situation you were in, and he's like, I'm playing for the U.S., but I haven't made my, I'm not cap tied, and I can make that decision. But what was the process for you, and not necessarily in like, you know, as Latinos as well as children of immigrants. We know that we feel American. We feel where our parents are from. But the process, the decision for you is without attaching this because there's some negativity sometimes that you may have dealt with and people get and Mets national team fans get mad. But from from your perspective, was it that difficult a decision, or was it like I was the hope to truly represent Mexico from day one?
That's a good question. I answer this all the time, but yeah, man, it was a difficult decision. You know, I had a lot of time to think about it. I took a lot of time to think about it. You know, I took time by myself, took time with my family, talked to my friends, people that have been in my situation. You know, ex players that I talked to that are Mexican American. But yeah, it was a decision that was really hard for me. You know, I was representing U.S. At the youth level, played a couple games at the senior level. But yeah, as a kid growing up in a Mexican household, I would always wake up to watch Mexican national team games. You know, I was always we always held the barbecues around Mexican national team games. We never really did that around U.S. games. You know, I wouldn't wake up early to watch the U.S. games. I would always wake up early to watch Mexico games. It was that was kind of my thing. You know, growing up, I always wanted to represent Mexico. I always, as a little kid, I always wanted to play on the Mexican national team. You know, with the players that I watched on TV, and now like playing with Chicharito is such a big thing for me. It's a crazy thing for me. As a kid, I was watching him. I have jerseys as a kid at my house back home with his number, his last name at my house, and now I'm playing alongside him. See, that's like a big thing to me. It still trips me out, to be honest. But yeah, it was a decision.
He's getting mad at you. He's like, "Yo, why didn't you pass me the ball?" I'm like, "Damn, I didn't expect this from Chicharito. This is crazy."
No, for sure. No, but yeah, it was honestly a decision that came with heart, that I did with my heart, that I made with my heart. It was, I was just waiting for the opportunity, and I had my family, my friends, and people that I love and that support me. That had their support, and that's ultimately what I needed. And it came down to a decision that I had to make with my heart, and I did. And it took time. It was I went over the pros and the cons for both for the U.S. and Mexico, and ultimately I thought. Ultimately my heart felt best with Mexico. So I'm proud of my decision. I'm happy. I'm just going to work hard and hopefully continue to get more call-ups. If that's not today, if that's not within this time period, I have to wait a couple years, and that's fine because I know that I have the future ahead of me, and I'm very patient, and what's for me is going to be for me.
Now let's talk about, and look, we don't begrudge that decision. Look, we would love to have a fullback of your quality play for the men's national team, but we understand when your heart was there for Mexico from the beginning, you got to do what you got to do. But now let's look at it for as someone who has played for the men's national team, at least in the youth levels, for the U.S. youth levels. What is it that you think is missing? Because there's so much conversation about what is and isn't happening for young Latinos that are a part, young Latin Americans in particular, especially Mexican Americans that are part of the American youth system. What else do you think U.S. soccer can do to not just attract more Latin American players, but to potentially keep Latin American players and to keep them and their families happy that they play for the men's national team?
Yeah. So honestly, it's just maybe the, I would say just the connection between the coaches, you know, not saying that Greg and I didn't have like a good relationship, you know, but I'm saying within my youth years, I had a lot of, not really. Yeah. I mean, I would just like, just, they didn't make me feel at home, you know. Greg did do a good job of that. I when I made my decision with Greg, it was nothing with Greg. It was nothing with the staff. I had a very good relationship with the staff. It was just ultimately a decision that I made at heart. But yeah, I think one of the things is just having a better relationship with the players and not just certain players, and having it with everybody, making everybody feel welcomed. I think that was kind of one of my things. And, you know, being, just kind of having, just kind of telling players that they have an opportunity and everything like that. Just a relationship, I think, would be something that can improve for sure.
Okay. Are the coaches at the youth level look, the reason Christian and I started this show is because everything around soccer in America was wild white. I'm Cuban, he's Dominican. Mm-hmm. We're both from like the hood. Like, yeah, everything was wild white. I get a feeling that the coaching staff and like a lot of the front office officials at the youth level also maybe are the same, maybe can't connect to young Latin kids as much. Do you think that's also a problem?
Yeah, I think that's kind of what I was trying to get to. I think that was kind of the biggest problem for me, is that I never really found a connection with any of the coaches. I don't know how the other Latin American or Latin players did, but with Greg, I found a relationship. You know, like I said, it was nothing with me and Greg. I think it was just like within my youth years, I never really felt that.
Okay.
I'm telling you, Greg wears heat on his feet. You know what I mean? I think that helps, right? My guy shows up with some exclusive ones. I'm like, damn, coach. You beat me to it on the sneakers app?
That's fun.
You got the connects. You got the connects. Yeah,
you got the plug.
So you have already played for Mexico. I mean, playing in World Cup qualifiers must be incredible. And the level of the weight of the shirt, there's something to it, obviously, right? When mm-hmm. Mexican fans are just, the energy is just a little different than U.S.
It's a lot different, let me tell you. It's a lot different. Yeah. Not a little.
So when you put on that shirt and you got on the pitch for the first time, can you just walk us through, what was that feeling like for you to get the Mexico shirt?
What's crazy is I wasn't really nervous when I put on my the Mexican national team jersey. I was more nervous getting off the bus when we first landed, walking to our hotel, and there's 100 cameras looking at you.
Right.
I put my headphones in. I was like, damn, like, this is really like how it is. I texted Sebastian Legit. I was like, bro, there's no way there's this many people. We're getting off. We just landed in Austin, I think. Yeah, when I played in Austin, we landed in Austin, where they have security on both sides of like the railing where we're walking. 100 people just taking pictures, you know, like, it's crazy. Like you said, you know, the pressure, like everything, the soccer, it's just a lot bigger in Mexico. The fans are crazy. But I'll get back to when I first put on my jersey. It was a crazy experience, you know, like I mentioned earlier, growing up as a kid, watching the World Cup, just watching Mexico games, and, you know, watching the guys that I dressed up with at World Cup qualifiers, you know, Guardado, Hector Herrera, Memo Ochoa, Moreno, you know, Chucky, Tecatito, all those guys, you know, it's crazy. I can't even explain to you. It was a crazy feeling. It was like if I was a kid again, you know, living my childhood dream. I was very, very happy, very proud. You know, I was just thinking about my family, my family that lived in Mexico, how proud they were. And my grandma from Mexico actually just came to the United States to come visit us. And I just seen her, and she was very happy, crying, because it made her very happy, you know, to represent Mexico. And it just makes me happy to be able to represent my people and, my family, you know, without their support, I wouldn't be where I am. And yeah, I just want to continue to do that.
It's beautiful, man. I mean,
that
like,
is gorgeous. That's great.
Yeah, man. Like, what to make, you know, Nana happy? There's nothing better, bro.
I know, nothing.
My abuela died not being proud of me, so I know I can only imagine.
I can't even laugh at that, bro.
She was like, ¿qué coño está haciendo? Nada. Me voy a morir aquí porque no es comedia ese.
Playing for the Mexican national team and just being a comedian in New York, really not the same, you know?
When I put on my black hoodie to get on stage, no one cried. They only cried tears of, why did we come here? We should have stayed in Cuba.
Oh, my God.
I want to talk about the pressure that you feel. One of the things that's different about the Mexican national team versus the men's national team here in the U.S. is in America, when you lose, people are like, hey, you know what? You did a good job. Good guy. When you lose in Mexico, it's a very different reception. Have you felt any of that yet? Have you heard any of that? Because, look, to be honest with you, you guys had a little bit of a rough summer, especially against the men's national team. Yeah. And there's a lot on the line, and it hasn't been going super smoothly. Have you experienced some of that backlash?
I haven't. Honestly, I haven't. Not really. I mean, I know they're not. I know there's a lot of pressure because when we're going into every game, we know what it's like. Like, we talk about it and not even know. We got to play for us. You know, we got to, you know, it's crazy. You know, it's not really like, you know, I'm sure that I'll get there. I'm sure that there'll come a point where I'm going to feel it 100%. But I haven't really. I know there's a lot of pressure, though. Don't get me wrong. I know it doesn't matter if we lose a game. There's always pressure with Mexico. There's always pressure. You know, I think that's the most beautiful thing because that gets us out of our comfort zone. And that makes us want to go even more. You know, that gives us that extra push. And I think, yeah, like I mentioned, I think it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing to have that much pressure because that's what I grew up as a kid wanting to play in. You know, pressure brings the best out of everybody. Whether it's you guys, whether it's me, anybody, a doctor, you know, it's crazy.
Okay.
Yeah. Not even a Theo. Theo's not calling you going, oh, yeah, man, nah. I put money on that game.
I don't even text my uncle.
Yeah, that's a good move. You deleted WhatsApp?
Deleted it. Changed my number. I gave him my WhatsApp. Theo, I got a new phone. Text me on this
right,
one.
Bro.
I don't have a new phone.
It has to be
Sebastian Legend's like, who's this angry Mexican dude texting me? This ain't my uncle.
That's my boy.
It has to be such a unique experience, right? There aren't many people that you can even relate to being Mexican American and being in that position. I'm curious about your teammates on Mexico. Like, I remember we were at the All-Star game, and I was in the MLS hotel, and I got on the elevator. It happens to be like Memo, and like I'm like, yo, why are these? I can't believe I'm on an elevator with these dudes. It's crazy. But who are the leaders on that team? You know, we're outside of that bubble. You know, we're USMNT. Our hashtag is like USMNT, and that's what we really see. And so for you, who are the leaders in on the team that you've either looked up to, who have or helped you out, and you know, sort of made you feel welcome on the team?
Yeah. So everybody is also. Everybody welcomed me with open arms, you know, I'm very thankful for that. Everybody's very cool. Everybody's very humble. Everybody talks to everybody, jokes around, just like you guys. They joke around, they tell jokes, they kill each other. They kill each other with jokes. So it's crazy. Yeah, my first time at qualifiers, I was at a table with George, Edson, Uriel, Alexis, Henry. Who else was there? I think that's it. But yeah, we were at a table and everybody just killing each other. It's my first day there and they're already killing me. it was crazy. But the leaders on the team on and off the pitch are Aguardado, Hector Herrera, Moreno, Memo. All kind of the older guys are kind of like setting examples, kind of pushing the limit, making sure, pushing the standard, making sure the standard is very high. You know, I think that's one of the best things there is that they make sure that everything is very, very high. You know, even in the Rondo, everything's very fast. In games, everything's very fast. It's crazy. And that's why they've played in World Cups. That's why they've played in some of the best leagues, and that's why they have a name for themselves, because they hold such a high standard, and they take care of their bodies off the pitch. You know, it's not really what they do on the pitch. Is that sometimes I see what they do off the pitch, how they take care of their bodies, how they're eating, everything like that. It's crazy, but there's a lot of leaders for sure. It's not just one specific guy that I can kind of tell you. I think everybody, all the older guys are setting examples for the younger guys, and even the younger guys are holding everybody accountable.
Okay. Who surprised you the most?
In what way?
Just like, I don't know whether it, maybe they're trash and you're like, I thought this guy was good, but no, but I was doing on the squad. No, I mean, like who did you like think maybe you knew how they played, or, you know, you familiarized themselves, but maybe in training they really showed you
Tecatito.
Just another level. Tecatito?
Yeah.
What about
stupid,
him?
Yeah. Stupid good. Like, there'd just be times where, like, you just, you know, you don't know how he's going to get out of it, but he's going to get out of it. Like, there's his body's, like, not small. He's short, but, like, he's just so shifty. He gets out of things. He's so good. And Hector Herrera, he's just so – plays so simple, plays so calm, very relaxed. But – what's surprising the most is just how nice everybody is, to be honest, how welcoming, how, you know, they're very, like, they're brothers. They love each other. They'll do whatever for each other. They're going to fight for each other. They'll kill for each other. And that's kind of like, you know, it's a beautiful thing. And, you know, they accepted me very well, and I'm happy for that.
It's good.
That's awesome.
It's good to hear. 'Cause the challenge that a lot of, you know, Latin Americans face is like ni de aquí ni de allá. That's always the problem. So yeah, I know you're gonna have to get a little roasted with gringo, whatever.
Yeah.
You gotta deal with it. But once you put in a couple challenges in training, and they're like, okay, no, he's Mexicano. You know what I mean?
Yeah, bro, show him what you did to Chanel, bro.
You'll be welcome right in. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I love how he's like, get me off this interview.
I can't talk about that.
No, we're not talking about who. Talk about what? Talk about nothing.
you mentioned
that, you know, the way they take care of their bodies afterwards. Look, you're a young guy right now. You're probably in that. You working out a lot. You run a lot. You can eat whatever you want. Some of these dudes are getting up there in age. They really got to worry about what they're eating and stuff. Some of that mentality, what are some of those things that you've taken? Like, what are you doing differently?
So I think that was kind of one of my biggest transitions I'm a kid, but as a kid, you know, as I was 17 years old when I signed my 17 or 18 when I signed my first professional contract, you know, I would come in, I would go to training, go home, eat Chick-fil-A. Like, it was like, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
Like, that's how a normal kid, like, that's, I don't know, like, that's what I would do. It was just normal to me, you know? But yeah, I would just look at the older players, how they stayed after an hour, come in before training an hour, 2 hours early, just to take care of their bodies, do the same thing repeatedly, you know, come in, do this, do that, and then go outside, get in the jacuzzi, hot tub, then go to training, you know? Yeah, I think that was kind of one of my biggest things. The sleeping was one of my biggest things. You know, I would stay up late. Back then I didn't play any video games, but I would just have a hard time sleeping very early, and I would have a hard time eating right. And I think, you know, just as I'm getting older, and as I'm like progressing with this career, and as I kind of like just look at everybody, all the older guys and veterans, and it's honestly, it plays a big role. It plays a huge role. You know, I'm eating better for sure. I eat pretty good. You know, there's some times where I'm still eating, you know, I want to go to In-N-Out. I want to go eat something for sure. I'm going to do that. After a game, I go to In-N-Out. After every home game, I go to In-N-Out. but yeah, man, I think that was one of my biggest transitions though. And I'm, to be honest, I'm a lot better than I was my first year coming in. And I think I'm really a lot better. I take care of my body. I go in, do my treatment. After training, I do my treatment, do my stretching, whatever I got to do. If I'm feeling something, I make sure I get it looked at. I'm sleeping at a decent time. I'm starting to like have a routine and trying to stick to my routine every day. But yeah, just seeing all these players, like Chicha comes in maybe an hour and a half early to make sure he's getting worked on. He does everything every day, the same thing, everything every day. And then, after training doing the same thing, does everything, not just Chicha, but all the other guys. They're very good examples, and honestly, one of the reasons why I'm super glad that I signed my first contract with Galaxy, because there's a lot of older guys that hold a very high standard. Sasha's one of the best leaders on that team. You know, he holds everybody accountable, making sure that we're playing at a high level. It doesn't matter if you're coming from second team, doesn't matter if you're coming from the academy, you're 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, he's yelling at you. He's yelling at you like if you're a pro, you're coming to train with the pros. So he doesn't treat anybody as a kid. He holds everybody accountable, yelling, making sure, but he's a very nice person. Super, one of the nicest persons I've ever met. And yeah, like that, those are just things that I see. And I try to apply to my game. You know, I try to be a voice now that it's my fourth season. I try to be more of a voice, more of a captain. And I just see things. And when I try to see things, I try to pick little things up and apply it to my game.
Now, I have to ask. Hold on. I have to ask. I'm sorry. What is your in and out order? And I will judge it.
Okay, now you're speaking to a professional.
Now you're talking to the fat one. Okay, Christian, you might want to go make yourself a cup of juice or green juice. Yeah. Me and Julian are talking real quick. No.
I just get like depending how hungry I am, I can get a little 3x3, no onions. I hate onions. No onions. 3x3, no onions. Some fries, Neapolitan shake with the Coke Zero on the side, or a Diet Coke because they don't got Coke Zero.
Yeah, but milkshake and Diet Coke, why not? The hell's the point?
So before I, like, once I'm in the car, I'm down in that shake, and then once I'm eating my food, I have my Diet Coke.
It's the appetizer.
A little appetizer. Yeah. A little amuse bouche to wet the palate. Yeah. Very nice. No fries?
Yeah.
You do you go fries well done? You just give me straight up fries, animal crispy style?
Yeah, well done. No, I don't like animal style fries. But I'll.
Me neither.
But I'll add the fries inside my burger. Put it in. Take a big bite. Super good. Bro, you're gonna make me get. Christian. You're about to make me get in and out today.
Bro, you at least live within 3,000 miles of one, my guy.
I live like less than 2 miles.
That's crazy.
Bro, Chick-fil-A, Cane's, and In and Out.
Bro, first of all, why you look like you do when I look like I do? I ain't even eat like that. This shit is illegal. My grandmother now even less proud of me. And also, I've never had Cane's before.
Oh, my. Cane's is amazing.
That's the fried chicken tenders, right, with the big sauce?
I took the French guys on our team when they first came out here to Cane's. They loved it.
For real?
Yeah, like, they send me pictures whenever they're eating games.
Jeez, it's like
they're like sacre bleu.
Is this a portion size for a horse? What is it?
And they're like, so I share this with everyone at the restaurant. This is mine. Okay. No.
Incredible, man. A couple other things I want to make sure I get to. We mentioned Hector Herrera coming to MLS. The news just dropped yesterday, going to the Houston Dynamo. So you're going to be playing against them later this year. What do you think of the news? Obviously, it's a huge Mexican star coming to Houston. What were your first thoughts when you saw that?
Yeah, I'm happy. You know, it's a huge pickup for Houston Dynamo. First of all, he's very good player. You know, he's definitely going to add a difference to that team. He's coming back. He's obviously played at a top team for a couple years, and he's a very good player, and I'm happy for him. I'm sure he's happy. I'm sure he's happy to come to the MLS, a new experience, new league. He's going to have to adapt to it. But he's a very good picker, very good player, and I'm sure he's going to get along with all the players and the staff there at Houston Dynamo, and I can't wait to play against them.
Okay.
Dope. Yeah. By the way, we have our own supporters group, so I just want to do these as like rapid fire.
Yeah.
They're called Gully Squad. That's why Christian's wearing a Gully shirt. That's what we do. That's why we keep a gully. That's why the interviews we do.
Right. You have the Riot Squad out in LA. Right.
We got Gully Squad. All right. So one of the first questions is Luke Sturgio. He asks, what is the GOAT taco protein? Like, what filling never disappoints? Are you a big taco guy? And if so, what is your, this is the filling I got to have. This is the taco I got to get.
The taco. Taco. I love El Pastor tacos.
Okay. Pastor little tacos. Seasoned pork.
Yeah. Or asada. Asada, yeah.
Got or asada? Lengua. Okay.
I like lengua as well.
Oh,
lengua.
I'm a big lengua guy.
Yeah, I love lengua. I never used to like it as a kid, but one day I just tried it with my parents, and the best thing that ever happened to me.
I have just I can't get past that it's lengua, and I haven't been brave.
A lot of people. That's kind of how I was. Like octopus, I never really liked octopus because it was octopus, and I seemed a little. Yeah, but now I like octopus.
But everyone's just cool eating cow, huh? Yeah. Ain't no one tripping about a cow. but you know, lengua. If you ever go to Mexico, like they'll pull out the full lengua on the table, and like the chopper will just start cutting up, and you're like, oh, that's a dead ass tongue. That's a tongue for real.
Yeah, you're about to eat crazy.
I love how you
said,
told,
give me the whole thing and some sauce, bro.
I love how you told the guy on the Mexican national team, yo, if you ever go to Mexico,
I was this telling is you, Christian. He knows.
Okay, I was just making sure.
Justin Freeberg asked.
Oh, also, now that Mexican national team has the chefs have the best food. Like, I look forward to going to camp because, oh my God.
Yo, that's bro, you know, so hold on a second. Good. Christian and I are going to be at La Azteca for Mexican national team versus U.S. national team. Yeah. So maybe we should tell Julian to let us in the back door so we could try some of his food.
Man, I'm talking about I look forward to eating breakfast, lunch, dinner because it's so good. Even snacks, man, it's crazy. It's just so authentic. Like, it's just so like, you just know you're in Mexico and you're like, oh, hell yeah, damn, I'm about to eat something good.
Is my grandmother the chef? Like, yo, this is great. Why is it so good?
There should be just a bunch of little viejitas just sitting there. Oye. Oye. For sure. Come un poco más. Justin Freeberg wants to know, now that Sebastian Legend and Becky G aren't around, who's the new power couple on the team?
Ooh.
Damn, I don't really know. Like,
who comes close? I mean, it's a high bar.
Is it you and In-N-Out?
No, man. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I was really never close to like any other like player's wife, kind of, or girlfriend. You know, I was really close with Sebastian and Becky. Still have conversations with them. But yeah, man, it's a tough question. I don't really know, to be honest.
So now we're going to have to get you hooked up with like Julia, like what's a Ariana Grande or something. Like we got to make you into the power couple. We got to get you.
Oh my God.
Hey, we know Pete Davidson. Maybe we could say, yo, when you're done with Kim Kardashian, let me know. I'll have my boy Julian text her. Get Kanye talking about MLS.
We got to get him on Hooligans first.
Yeah, dude. All right. This question is from Mike Thomas. He asked a great question. He says, what are the key differences between the U.S. camp and the Mexican national team camp? And can you reveal all the Mexico secrets, Julian?
That's in all caps, by the way.
The secrets? I don't know, man. I don't. Can't tell you the secrets, but no. Nah,
the food you already mentioned, that had to be the one of the biggest.
Yeah, the food. Oh, my God.
We got to get the chefs.
The biggest.
Okay. Man,
like a chef travels with us everywhere we go. They have their own chef that travels with them everywhere you go. And US,
what a life.
Never, I don't think, really had that. But like the food I'm talking, like I can't get over it. Like it's amazing. It's amazing.
Okay. Okay.
And it's healthy. It's like good food.
All right, Julian, thank you so much. This has been incredible. Alexis, do you have anything else for Julian before we wrap up?
No, man, just thank you so much, man. This has been incredible.
All right, Julian Araujo. Dude, thank you so much, man. Seriously, best of luck, obviously, with the Mexican national team, except when you play for the U.S. You know how it is, okay? Yeah, right. We ain't homies like that anymore when those games are on. But any other time is all...
enemies for 90 minutes.
It
is absolutely all love. Best of luck this season with the L.A. Galaxy as well. Oh, the one thing I did want to ask, because I forgot to mention this, Douglas Costa, obviously, new player on the team. Usually, I always love asking defenders whenever a big star, especially a player like him, shows up in training. What's it like marking Douglas Costa? Because this dude is an absolute beast. We've seen him embarrass people highlight after highlight on the, like, Champions League Twitter and all these other stuff. What's it like marking him?
He's very shifty. You never know what's going to come out of him. You know, he's never going to be looking at you. You know, on the attacking side, I'm going to give you, whenever I'm on the right side and I'm playing with him and he's right wing and he's coming inside, you just got to know that he's going to get you the ball somehow, some way. He's not going to look at you, but he's going to get it to you. That's the craziest thing that I kind of had to adapt to, is just like, I would just be running and like, okay, he's looking that way. He's not going to give it to me. So I slowed down, and then at one point he just get it to me. I'm like, damn, I got it. And I got to go again. But just things, you know, you never know what to expect from him. You know, he's very shifty. He's going to finish everything he gets. He's a finisher. He's a top player. He's played with the Brazilian national team. He's, you know, he's, I don't even know, man. He's the best, one of the best players in the world. He has a name for himself. He's played at all these teams for a reason. But yeah, once he's good, he's healthy, he gets in his rhythm, you know, it takes some time, obviously, coming from a whole different country, playing with new players that he's never played with, you know, adapting to the league, to how intense and physical it is. You know, it's you know, he has to adapt for sure, but he's going to get there. Give him a couple games and I'm sure he'll get there 100%.
Okay.
Dude, I could just picture you after the game waiting in line to In-N-Out, and all of a sudden the ball rolls to your foot and you're like, what the hell? We're not even playing. Costa.
The vision on this man.
Yo, yeah, he sees it when no one else does.
I know.
Julian, yo, I hope you had a good time hanging out with us.
Seriously, yeah. Brother, thank you so much for joining us, man. It means the world. So, again, best of luck this season. Is there anything you want to let people know about before we let you go? You want to mention
and where, yeah, where can they follow you as well?
Anything?
Yeah,
no, appreciate it, guys. Thank you guys so much, first of all, and thank you for having me on. Whenever you guys need me, I'm always here. You know how to reach out to me. Reach out to me personally, whoever you need to. But like I said, I had a very good time here. Yeah, I would love to hop on whenever you guys need me. But everybody that's watching, continue to support the Cooligans. You know, they're going up. They're up already. It's only up 2022. We're always going up. Everybody, praying for everybody's success this year. And, you know, thank you guys once again. And, you know, appreciate the love.
Thank you, bro.
Bro, dude. That sounds like an intro to an OGZ album, son. I'm like,
yo, that's going to be the intro to our album, dude. That was great.
Done. Thank you. That's, yo, Julian, thank you so much.
Julian, thanks
appreciate
so much,
bro. Thank you.